I think the most important thing is that you stay true to yourself and you know what you want, and not so much what your partner wants or your mother-in-law wants or your peer group wants. I think you need to know what is best for you and how you feel comfortable.
Get Inspired, your podcast for more inspiration and your business talk about how to connect, how to empower, and how to get inspired. With amazing guests interviewed by Ricarda, our founder of My Collective.
Mariel von Schumann has always danced to the beat of her own drum. She's been on the board of major companies while also working full-time, and she's decided to take her sort of parental leave 10 years after her baby was born. And she's lots of excellent advice for our careers, our finances, and for life.
Mariel, thank you so much for coming. Welcome to My Collective. There is a personal side of me that is very happy that you're here, and a professional side. On the personal note is, you guys know that I've been with Siemens for a long time, and Marielle has been with Siemens for 20 years. And during my time when I was there, you were one of my personal role models during that time. So it's really cool to have you here, because this is all about role models. And it's really these impulse sessions here. The idea is not that there is one perfect role model, but there are people out there who've made it, who have made it in a corporate career, as a mother also, and also are willing to share in an open environment sort of what your experiences are. So I'm really very much looking forward to it. And maybe just a short introduction. I mean, I already said you've been with Siemens for 20 years. So you basically left university from INSEAD London Business School, ESCP, and all of that, quite international academic background. Went to Siemens and had a lot of different steps there, but mainly all in the finance or corporate finance part as head of investor relations, head of governments and markets, and also chief of staff. And you have now and are in a sort of, if you want to say it, leave. Not really a leave, because there are a couple of things that you're doing at the same time. So I'm just naming some, which is board member of Siemens Gamesa and also board member of Verti, a Spanish insurance company. And we will hear a little bit more also later. But I think with that, we would basically start into the first question that I would like to ask you to share a little bit on these advisory boards, sort of jobs and journey that you have embarked on. And the question is really, you haven't really started this only now, you've already done this before. So why and how does one get started? And the second question would be, how do you integrate this into a full day job if you're in your job?
Well, thank you first for having me, and thank you for your really kind words. To your question, or basically two questions, how do you get started? I mean, at some point in your career, you reach a certain seniority, and you are able to not only provide a lot of value add to your job, but also potentially to another company, and in this through a mandate in a board, supervisory board. So it's something that comes along at some point in your career. But let me go first in answering the second question you have, because how do you integrate this in a job, and how do you find the arguments that you will have to somehow provide also to your manager when you take over a board position in another company, that the company and your manager allows you to spend some time in another board? I think it's actually quite easy, because being on the board of another company is not only a value add to yourself and your own career, but I am a firm believer this is actually a value add to your job and to your company. Why am I saying this? Throughout my professional life, I have experienced that it is so important to understand in a meeting, in a discussion, in a negotiation, to understand the other side of the table, to understand where your counterpart comes from, why certain reactions are happening in meetings, why people are taking certain decisions. Really try to put yourself in the shoes of the other. And in doing so, you are much better off preparing your own arguments in the way you want to put forward, most probably sometimes difficult discussions, difficult decisions and topics. Now, if you are in a board of another company, you have exactly that position. You sit at the other side of the table, and you suddenly have a different viewpoint and a view on the organization. You need to handle corporate governance topics. You need to take decisions. And believe it or not, but sometimes management and the supervisory boards have different views on certain things, whether it's the strategy of a company, whether it's about announcement, nominations, et cetera, et cetera. So I believe it is super interesting to be in a board while you still have your executive job. And it's good for your career, but it is as good also for your company. You get to know other industries, different business models. You get to understand corporate governance topics that most probably you don't have so much in your current job, topics that you're not are not really related to your current function. You enlarge your network. And if you find a good company to be on a board of, you spend time with really interesting people. And I think this is a huge value add for your job. So how do you do this? Obviously, the first board seat is always pretty difficult to get. You know, that's the way it is. My advice would be to try to get a first board seat while you are well settled in your job. You can put some time aside because you have to realistically also understand that this is time consuming. You need to select the industry and the business well. You don't need to really know the industry or the business, but you need to have a genuine interest in the industry and the business. Look at the person who chairs the board. That's very important. And the other board members, if you sit on a board, the important decisions that need to be taken, you also take your personal responsible for the decisions that are being taken. So those are, some of the aspects you need to think about before you take up a board seat. So don't take the first thing that comes across. I think there is no need to. But if you are confronted with an opportunity, sometimes it actually comes from the company itself, the company you work for. In the company, you have different legal organizations, legal companies. They need boards, whether it's in your country or maybe a country organization outside of your country yourself. That's the way I started it with Siemens India. In India, Siemens has an organization which is a separate legal entity, which is actually listed in the Indian stock market, and they have a board. And the board is, you have people, independent directors and dependent directors. And I was asked as a dependent director to join the board. And that's how I started actually my way in a board.
So as a kind of stepping stone approach, so to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
When we talk about boards or supervisory boards in Germany, there's quite a bit of discussion as well on the quota, right? So since I think 2015, we have a quota that there have to be at least 30% women on board. What's your experience with this discussion in and outside of the boards? And how do you deal with that as a woman on the board?
Well, I'm not really in favor of this quota discussion, even though I have to admit that without this one, things wouldn't have changed. So that's also the case on the board side. I think that on boards, and I don't know the statistics, but I think you have actually more women and less of an issue than you would have in management. You have typically a lot of women that have some financial background that are being asked to join the board because of the committees. You have the board, but the work and actually most time is consumed in the committees, and the audit committee being, one of the most important committees of a board. That's where a lot of financial expertise is needed. And that's where you find actually a lot of women that join this task of the board. You have the nomination remuneration committee, where I typically sit, given, the experience I have throughout my career. And there, boards are looking for the right expertise, but it's a man's network still, but it's something that I think is opening up in Germany. And, we hear a lot about those large boards, DAX company, et cetera, but every smaller company, every legal entity needs a board. And it's great to be on a board of a DAX company, yeah? But you don't need this to get the experience. You can be as well the board of a startup, a smaller company, a mid-sized company, and you can learn a lot there. And that's what I think the first step needs to be is learning.
Interesting you said nomination committee, because we had a while back, we had Verena Pauster with us as an Impulse speaker. And she was also stressing the fact that the nomination committee is the one to be in, because also her mission was a bit also to get other women on board. And where do you do that best in the nomination committee? So interesting. That's an interesting choice. But now coming back to your career at Siemens itself, So this was 20 years in one company, and I'm sure there were different faces, not only different jobs and different job title, but also different faces for you. And I think one of them was also parental leave, which is for us at My Collective, the focus area. And so I wanted to ask you if you could share some of your experiences of how your parental leave in your corporate career was, how you experienced it as a career threatening element in your career or as a career booster, and how this looked like for you in your own parental leave.
Well, obviously there is not one size fits all career path. It's, yeah, you know, it's a very individual topic. And as such, I mean, I chose my individual path, which basically meant that my idea was to be settled in a company, in a job before starting to create a family. And once I do this, then see whether, you know, I was needed more at home or in the job. And then dependent on this, decide on my parental leave. So I am most probably not your target group because my parental leave was very, very short. I stayed in the job. I stayed in the responsibility. My team was working greatly. My manager was trusting me. I was, you know, people could reach out to me whenever they wanted. And I took, you know, the more difficult and more important decision, I took them while in a parental leave. So I did actually only take 3 months. I have to add here that I wasn't brought up in Germany, at least the experience I have made, you know, 3 months is already a good time for parental leave and then you go back into your job. That's what I did and I would do it again, but I understand that there are different ways of doing it. I went back to the job 3 months after my child was born, but I decided 10 years later that it was now the time to actually take a leave. It's not the typical parental leave, as you would call it, but I've decided that the moment my child needed me most was when she was moving from primary school to secondary school. And that's where I decided, among other things, to take some time off and spend more time at home and be present. The parental leave is in my way, and that's how I feel it. It was never an issue in my career. Was it a booster? I don't know. But I think you can use your parental leave independently how long it is. You can and you should, I think, use it wisely. If you are on a career path and if you want to continue your career afterwards, let's remember that we're talking about, you know, 25 to 40 year old, or most probably 30 to 40 year old. And when you take your parental leave, that's where you make, you know, your big career steps normally. And your peers are doing this. Men are doing this. People around you, the colleagues are doing this. And you need to be careful that if you are gone too long, you start being forgotten. I mean, it's hard to say, but this is reality. Mm-hmm. So,
but is it about the time? Or, I mean, if you give advice, I think that would have been my next question anyway. I'm sorry for interrupting. But is it about how long you go out, or what you were saying before is stay in some of your responsibilities? We actually do have that in our network quite a bit. Some of you guys also stay and keep, I don't know, a certain percentage during the parental leave or a couple of hours, or they basically just available on phone anyway for their team members. So we hear this quite a lot, but what's your trick? Is it the time length, or are there other things like how to position yourself when you come back, or how do you basically present yourself also as someone when you go back that can be a solution for the problem that this company have or the challenge that you have?
I think the most important thing is that you stay true to yourself and you know what you want, and not so much what, you know, your partner wants or your mother-in-law wants or your peer group wants and does. I think you need to know what it's best for you and how you feel comfortable. Going back to work too soon and feeling guilty and not feeling prepared, it's not a good thing to do. Going back to work and knowing that everything is organized and your child is being taken care of and you don't need to think about this, you know, I was surprised myself. I went back to work and I actually forgot my child. I mean, it's something that I couldn't have imagined before. I loved my job. I was fully into it. And I knew that, you know, everything was organized and I didn't need to worry. So it depends a little bit how you get yourself organized and how you are as a personality. From a job perspective, I can only advise to stay in close contact with the organization. Doesn't mean that you specifically need to work, but, you know, try to be part of the jour fixe, try to get still the information from the company, read about the company, the industry, use the time wisely to get organized, get the logistics organized. And with this, I don't say organize your child, but organize everything that when everything goes wrong, you still have a backup and you still know, because obviously things will go wrong and you know you will have the most important meeting of the year and your partner will be on a business trip and the nanny will be sick and the public transport will be on strike. And yeah, and there you are. So what do you do? And everyone, you know, we all know that this happens. Now these days you have Corona on top of it. So it doesn't make it easier, but use the time wisely on your parental leave. And if it is that you get, you know, training or you do certain things, and therefore I don't think you can really say how long the time is, but still, I think the shorter, the better, in my personal view. And I speak as someone who has been in such a situation, but also as an employer who has had numerous situations where women came and said, I want to come back soon, but then it took longer, took a year, then it took two, then the second child came, it took 3 or 4 years. And honestly, the company continues to move on. The teams continue to move on. And you change as well. I mean, 4 years down the road, you know, you see things differently. And it's really hard to get back into the organization, into the same job. Even if legally you might, you know, have the right to do so, maybe you just actually don't want to.
Thank you so much. This is counting on three really important points that we always stress as well, is to stay in contact, but also plan and operate on plan B and C, which is, by the way, probably any working mother at the current moment in during Corona is doing anyway, we'd probably see down the line, and get logistically organized. I think that's super important. But there's one other thing that we also quite often stress in our program, is that you can use it also wisely in terms of getting your finances in order. Because sometimes, especially if you're in a high-pitched job, these kind of things tend to be second and third priority. And then if you have children, there are a lot of other priorities as well. So looking at your finances during parental leave is super important to not fall into the pay gap or the career gap or any sort of that. So getting your finances in order, what does that mean, or what did that mean for you, Marielle? I mean, you're now from a financial background, but did you do that yourself? Are you doing that in your leave now? And if so, what kind of advice could you give for us?
Yeah. I think besides all the gaps that you can, you know, get into, I just think it's a pity. You work hard and, you know, you have all the right to, you know, enjoy afterwards and make sure that, you know, the financial side of your life is intact and you can enjoy it. Yes, the parental leave is a time where you can get your finances in order. The sooner, the better. I've actually only done it now, so 10 years down the road. But if you have the time, you should do it. And if you haven't done it yet, what do I mean with getting finance in order? I think the first step is get transparency on where you stand. You know, what are your expenses? You know, your monthly, your yearly expenses. Are there any extraordinary expenses down the road in the short or in the midterm? To provide you a clear view on what part of your money is something you could put aside or you could invest, money that you don't need now immediately. I think the second thing that you need to look into is, what is your risk appetite? Yeah, and this is also has a lot to do with your personality. You know, are you someone who likes taking risks, and when it works out, great, when it fails, tough luck somehow, and I'll try it again? You need to see for yourself. You know, if you're not someone who likes to be very risky, you know, don't start buying equities of a, you know, very volatile growth company. And, you know, you don't sleep at night, not because the kid is crying, but actually because, you know, the stock price has gone down 5%. So you need to find for yourself the right portfolio and the right balanced approach where to invest your money. And that's what I would call risk appetite, and get a feeling for that. And thirdly, use the time to just get informed. I mean, not only there are tons of books, but much easier when you walk the kid, actually, is to listen to podcasts. There are numerous podcasts, very good podcasts, that explain to you step by step how you can approach this, where you need to be careful, what are the timelines you need to look at. And I think, you know, this is also time really wise spent during a parental leave.
Thank you so much for sharing this. We had Andrea Fernandez from Vitamin with us, who's also basically sort of guiding women step by step through this. And I think this is a very good approach, and it's never too late, as you said. And I think in terms of spending your parental leave wisely, I very much enjoyed having you with us, Maria. Thank you so much, and bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.